be wise, make a good decisions, you know. I know I had that, and I did not make wise decisions often myself. And I know we can all probably say that. But when we get to those times, we can sometimes forget what it means to be wise. What I mean is we can follow the wisdom of the world, or we can just forget things sometimes, all of us. You know, there were three older gentlemen playing cards together, and they were discussing what has happened as they've gotten older, and one of them goes, "Sometimes I catch myself with a jar of mayonnaise standing in front of the refrigerator, and I can't remember if I'm trying to put it away or if I'm trying to make a sandwich." And then another one agreed with him. He said, "You know, there's often times where I'll be standing at the landing of the stairway, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be going up or down." And then the last one says, "Well, I'm glad I don't have that problem, knock on wood." And as soon as he did that, he says, "Oh, that must be the door. Let me go get it." So we can all oftentimes have moments where we can lack wisdom or forget things. And forgetting to be wise is something I think that we can all attest to, you know. But when you do forget to be wise, we can go to the Bible and it can point us in the direction of wisdom. And that wisdom we need. James, in the book of James, it says, "If you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you." And that's sometimes we don't do that, do we? Instead of asking for wisdom, we try to do what we think's best or what the world tells us is best. But we need to know that when we face those difficult situations that we can go to God, he will give us the wisdom we need. And how is that? Well, through his scripture. Through his scripture, reading the word provides the wisdom you need. Praying to God and his Holy Spirit will urge you in the right direction. Those are the ways that you can be wise. You know, there's plenty of people out there that have just this overwhelming amount of knowledge. And they have the education. They got all kind of graduate degrees and they're intelligent. But guess the Bible says that some of those people are fools because knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. You know, that you can have some of the greatest minds of the world, but if they don't call Jesus Lord, then the Bible says that they're a fool. But they're very smart, but they're not wise. And there's many people we can think of that are like that, like Albert Einstein, for one. He was really, really smart. I don't know, think he ever called the Lord, Lord. He wasn't wise. And then there's other gentlemen out there that are, and ladies as well, that are super intelligent that do call Jesus Lord. And that's the most wise thing they did, was calling Jesus Lord. You know, there's the message of the cross, is a quote I found, says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing." So think about that. The message of the cross is foolishness to people that don't believe in Jesus. You know, the wisdom of the world is foolish. We know that. Sometimes it can look good to us, though. And to the world, following Christ does look foolish because you give up yourself, you give up your resources, you give up your time to worship God. And if they don't know God, that can look foolish. And that's why the Bible says that these things are foolish if you don't know God. You know, what are some worldly sayings? When you think about wisdom sayings of the world, what are some, if it feels good, do it. Y'all have heard that before? Anyone that's ever struggled with addiction knows that that's not true. If it feels good, does not mean you do it. Because if you do, it can destroy your life, can destroy your neighbors, your friends, your family, can destroy your career. So if it feels good, do it, is not wise advice. It's not sage advice, as the saying goes. We know that that's not true. And also, there's another one that we say is, "The only person you have to answer to is yourself." Have y'all heard that one? And we know, if you're a Christian, you know that's definitely not true, because one day, every single person's going to go before God and have to make an account for their lives. So there's other people we have to be accountable to as well before we get to that point. But we know that's the ultimate moment of accountability. So we do have to answer to other people than ourselves. It's not good advice. Also, you know, if you run a stop sign and you see some blue lights flashing up behind you, guess what? You're about to be held accountable by a police officer. So you know there's definitely people out there that hold you accountable in the physical world as well as the spiritual world. You know, and another thing is this is something a lot of the younger people, at least, I don't know, they may not say this anymore, but we used to say, you know, get yours. You got to get yours. Talking about money or whatever it is, you get yours. It's all yours. It's all about you. And that's not true either. We know it's not about ourselves. We're supposed to be selfless, not selfish. Because when you're selfish, it's all about yourself. But when you're selfless, it should be all about God. Giving to others the love of God, loving your neighbor, and loving God and giving your time, your resources to serve others. That's what we're called to do. In other words, put yourself behind and put Jesus at the forefront of your life, you know. So if we see from those few, just those few sayings, that if we follow the wisdom of the world, we obviously are fools if you follow one of those I just said. But the Bible says following the wisdom of the world is for fools. You know, we need to, our wisdom should come from God and what the scriptures say, which is from God. And if our wisdom does come from God, if our wisdom does come from the scriptures, then it's going to make a difference in how we live our lives. It's going to make a huge difference. And so when looking through this text, it kind of tells you how to do that. It's funny because when you read it, the last thing that Paul talks about is actually the most important, which will lead to the others, which is being filled with the Spirit, but we'll get to that. When we look at this, it's, so look carefully how you live. Some translations say, look carefully how you walk. And when you walk in the real world, when you're walking, you do have to be careful, don't you? You're going to cross the street, you're going to make sure there's no cars coming, look both ways. When you're driving, you got to make sure there's nobody. When you're turning or whatever, you got to be careful. Because if you're not, you can get hurt. We can hurt someone else. When I was in Atlanta, when I was in some training, we went to eat dinner. And there's a crosswalk. So everybody starts walking across. And the light had just was about to turn. And I was like, I don't know if we should go. But everybody went, so I went. So I'm getting almost to the end of it. And the car apparently didn't see us and drives up and hits me. But it wasn't going very fast, so I didn't get hurt, don't worry. But I just kind of got up on his hood, and I looked at the guy, and I started laughing and kept walking. But the point is, I was not being careful. I knew not to go. I even, in my head, was, I probably shouldn't go. But everybody went, so I did, because I was following their wisdom instead of my own wisdom in that moment. And I could have gotten hurt, because I miscalculated. I was not being careful. You know, we all have had moments like that. You know, if you go swimming with sharks, you got to be careful and make sure that thing doesn't get close to you, right? I don't know if anybody's done that. I'm not going to do it. I'll go ahead and tell you. But you got to be careful. You got to be mindful of what's going on. You know, the greater the danger, the higher the stakes, the more careful one has to be. But our spiritual stakes are the highest. But our spiritual lives are the highest stake that we have to be most careful about. And there's nothing more important than that spiritual life, that life in Christ, that life in God, not even crossing the busy street and getting hit by the news van like I did. I could have been more careful and not got hurt. But when it comes to your spiritual life, it's important to understand that making careful decisions is the most important thing to getting closer to God and avoiding following the wisdom of the world and being wise as the scripture teaches us instead. We want to be wise. We don't want to be foolish. And that's something I think we can all know. Think about Noah and the scriptures. Noah, God told him to build this big ark and told him what was going on, so he did it. And he said, everybody around him was like, look at this fool. This guy's ignorant. What's he doing? He is following God, building this ark. Well, he was being wise, wasn't he? Because he did what God asked him to do, and it saved him and his family. Oftentimes, we need to ignore the, like Noah ignored their mockery of him. He said, I'm doing what God told me. That's what we need to be. We got to walk carefully and not foolish and just focus on God and do what he's called us to do. So how are you to be wise? How can you be wise? Another way is to make the best of the time that you have. Make the best of the time that you have. You know, we have lots of time, don't we? Some time, a lot of time ahead of us. But often you can't, your time is not tomorrow, your time is not yesterday, your time is right now. You know, you can't live for yesterday, you can't live for tomorrow, you got to live in this moment. You can't save a bunch of time and like store it up and then one day say, I'm going to redeem my time and now I get all that. That doesn't work like that. So that's why you have to be mindful of our time and use that time wisely and live right now every minute of the day in the wisdom of God and not in the wisdom of the world. You know, you can't save that time up. Use it wisely. Each moment should be to the glory of God. Each moment should be a moment where you are fulfilling what God has called you to do in your life. You know, I wasted my time one time. I went to get a ticket to Disney World at a timeshare. Anybody ever sat through a timeshare presentation? So I did that, about 4 hours, wasted 4 hours. I was actually at like a training for college ministry. I could have been spending that 4 hours, all of us, there was many of us that went, could have been using that 4 hours to study. I could have used that 4 hours to fellowship. Instead, I went through this long timeshare thing, and then at the end, I get my Disney ticket. I went to Disney. But that's also 4 more hours I could have spent there, right? Well, I got that, and afterwards, I was like, I think I'd rather would have just spent the $80. I don't want to do that again. So you're looking back, you know when you waste your time, and I could have used that time in a better fashion. And don't get me wrong, it was fun going to Disney, but that time was lost. So we have to be wise with how we use our time and make the most of it. Give it all to God, all your time to God. You know, when you're thinking about prayer, some people are like, I don't have time to pray. You have time to pray. When you're driving your car, you can pray. Just keep your eyes open, because if you don't, you're going to be not being careful, going back to that, and you might have some blue lights coming behind you because you ran a stop sign because you were praying with your eyes closed driving. Don't do that. Keep your eyes open. But you can pray anytime, any moment. So we need to use our time in a fashion that would be to the Lord. Every moment of time. So how do I know how to do that? Well, it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the question I think we all want to know. What's the will of the Lord? What's the will of the Lord for my life? What's the will of the Lord for my career? What's the will of the Lord for my family? But when we do understand the will of the Lord, we'll be able to walk more careful and we'll be able to use our time more wisely, right? And understanding the will of the Lord is simple. Love God, love your neighbor. And you want to read the scriptures, you can find out how you can properly do that. That's how you know the will of the Lord. Ultimately, you know the will of the Lord from the Holy Spirit who can guide you as well. That's something we Methodists like to talk about, the Holy Spirit, and how it can guide and lead us where we need to go. If you ever have that, I look at the Bible can be kind of like a GPS or a map. It tells you where to go. You just got to do it. And if you don't do it, you're not going to get where you're supposed to go. So when we look to the scripture, it tells us what we need to do. It tells us how to be wise. It tells us how we need to follow God. We just have to do it with our time and by carefully walking. And that's the will of the God, by understanding what the scripture says and living that out. In Malachi, sometimes we can, when we want to give God something, we don't give him everything, right? I'm supposed to be selfless. Well, I'll give up some of this stuff that I don't really care about it, God. I'll give this up, but I'm going to hold on to this. Now, in Malachi 1:13, it says something about this. It says, "But you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand? Says the Lord." We know the answer. No, he doesn't want your second best. He wants your best. He wants the best. What was going on is they were giving to offering for their sacrifices these animals that were about to die or they were sick or whatever. So that wasn't their best. God wants your best. We do that as well. We give God some, but not all. And we need to give him our best and not second best. You know, Matthew even says, "And not everyone who calls me Lord will end up in heaven. Only those who do God's will." And how do we say we do God's will? Following the scripture. Following that little nudge the Holy Spirit gives you. That's how you follow God's will. And we know there's many people out there that say, "Hey, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus." But the Bible's clear that people are going to be out there saying that, but they don't really do know Jesus. You can normally tell from their fruits. And it says that one day they're going to get to heaven and say, "You may know Jesus, but Jesus didn't know you." That's something we have to think about. How can we get those people to truly know Jesus in that regard and help them to follow God's will? You know, so what is God's will in our lives, in our families, in our career, in our endeavors? You know, we know that from when that Holy Spirit can nudge you. And you know that by lining up your desires with God's desires. Lining up your life with the scriptures. And if you do that, you're going to be living for God's God's will. Does this glorify God? Does that line up with God's will? You need to ask yourself with these things. I do. Does this glorify God? No, all right, I probably shouldn't do it. You know, that's something that then the Holy Spirit can do that to us too. You think about, am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving God? Those are some things you can ask yourself. And if you're doing those things, then you're right in where you need to be. But when you become a Christian, you get this gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit can guide us. I think we all have had that moment where you hear that small voice in your head. It's like, don't do that. You probably shouldn't do that. So sometimes you do it anyway, then you see why you shouldn't have done it. But that's the Holy Spirit. Don't do this. Go here. Go take this job. I'm leading you in this direction. We have to listen to that and not ignore it, because the Holy Spirit can nudge us, give us that little push in the direction we need to go. And being filled with the Holy Spirit will allow us to live carefully, will allow us to live in a timely fashion. In other words, having God first the whole time. And it will also allow us to live out God's will. Because if you are filled with the Spirit, if you're filled with the Scriptures, then you will live out God's will. As I said, you see it all ties in with the Holy Spirit, right? They could have started with that and then said these things will come afterwards. That's the way it works. But when I worked for Canvas Crusade, and the founder of it wrote a book about living in the Spirit. And there's an interesting concept that he said that made me really understand it a little more. He called it spiritual breathing. But when you, to live and be filled with the Spirit, you breathe out yourself. Breathe out. In other words, get rid of all the things that are holding you back in your own life. Then breathe in the Holy Spirit. Let God have all of you, every last ounce, every moment of time, every decision. By breathing in and being filled. Just think about when you're really out of breath, and then you get that really good breath. Have you ever been underwater for too long and you get up and you're like, that's what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. It brings you life, because we need that. And that's how, as a Christian, we can live our life in the Spirit by breathing that in and getting rid, exhaling all of our personal selfishness, and instead breathing in who God is for us and living carefully, living timely, and living out God's will. That's how you live wisely, being able to do that. But let me pray for us. God, we admit that oftentimes we like to live our own way. We like to live the way the world may tell us. God, we pray that you would just fill us with the Spirit and allow us to cast aside our own ways and our own poor choices, and instead make everything in life about you, every moment, walking and treading carefully where we may go, having our mind in tune with your will, God, when our desires are your desires, where your word is in us, written on our hearts, as the scripture says, and that we can be loving our neighbor and loving you fully when the world says it's foolish. We can remember that the Bible says those that don't know Christ are the fools. God, we just pray that we would be filled with your Spirit this week and take it with us so that we can reach our community and reach those around us that may be in need, that may be crying out for you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.